Good afternoon.
How are you?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Time to talk.
Right. Got home safely.
Good.
Life is good.
Good. I think it went really well.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what was the feedback from the meeting?
Well, everyone's, like, I think a lot of people are considering it, like, who before were, like, you know, kind of putting it off. So I think there's momentum for a lot more people to do it, to be honest. At least, I know, at least, 3 or 4. That I've just come across today. So that's good.
Wonderful.
You know, I think it comes down to two things. The willingness to work, because it is work, and the desire to grow your business. But as I said to Nina, not everyone in this office wants to grow their business.
Right.
And you don't want to, it's not going to benefit you to spend time on them, and they're not going to do the work, so. But,
No, I mean, you don't want to give up on people, but frankly, there were, you know, just people that I always encouraged, but knew that they were never going to, they were just at a different stage of their life. They just did not see that as something that they wanted to do, which was to grow.
Exactly.
You know, so you just say, you know what, love it. Keep paying your revenues.
Yeah.
But I treated them like a utility then, you know. They didn't get a 20 times or 30 times earnings PE.
Right. You get like an 8.
Right. They get an 8 times earnings. So when it came to support and things like that, they were a source of revenues, you know. They were rather than a place for investment.
Right. I guess that's the way Nito has to think about it.
Yes, he should. And, you know, I'll have to remember to talk to him about that, because that's really important. I always used to say fair but not equal.
Right, because I found that.
Yeah, it's like a portfolio. You've got to invest where you think you're going to get the best rate of return.
Yes.
And, you know, somebody raises their hand and says, you know, I'm like higher PEs. And you say, love it. Okay, let's see it. You know, come on. And sometimes you take some chances and they don't come through, but that's okay.
Yeah, but you have to take chances. Otherwise, you're that guy sitting in the office, he doesn't want to grow.
Right. But I mean, as a manager, you have to take chances too.
Okay.
When somebody steps up, you gotta take chances on that working, and sometimes it doesn't, but if somebody's gonna step out in the comfort zone, you gotta support that. So what's on your mind and what can I do for you today?
Yeah, so I wanted to give you a little update. I had a prospect that I've been meeting with for the past like 3 weeks. She's a friend of mine, and she's like a 62-year-old divorcee, and she has 2 accounts. I'm here at Morgan Stanley, not with me, and one at Merrill for a combined $1.5 million. And we were just catching up over coffee on a social level, and she asked me what I did, and I told her. And then she said, hey, you know, I'm with a team at Morgan Stanley that I'm not comfortable with. Can I talk to you? And so I said, yes, but let me, like, go, you know, let me talk to my branch manager, because as you probably understand, like, I can't prospect Morgan Stanley clients. So we cleared it, and she told me that she was also meeting with another team in New York. Her current advisor is in New York, but this is a different team. And so, you know, we met like 3 or 4 times, and I mean, it was below my minimum, so I kind of now regret, like, wasting time. But in the end, she actually decided to go with the other team in New York. And I think I think the reason she did it is because that's who manages her boyfriend's money, to be very frank. And she also said, you know, that was one of the reasons, and the other reason was that they were more of a team, and she, you know, there was someone to look at her equities, which is kind of baloney, someone to look at her bonds, which is kind of baloney, and then someone to manage the relationship. But I get, like, some people market themselves that way. But I don't know, like, I'm kind of mad at myself because it was below my minimum, and I wasted a lot of time on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to talk to you about how to be disciplined with regard to prospecting in my range. I mean, I kind of felt like it was a friend, you know, but I can't do that. That's a waste of time. Because that was a ton of time that I spent that I could have been making calls that could have been beneficial to me.
Okay.
Or am I looking at it wrong?
No, I think you're mad enough you won't do that again.
Well, maybe a little bit, because she was like, oh, I like you so much better. You're so much better. Well, because I did the whole supernova thing. You're so much better organized, so much more thoughtful. They manage my boyfriend's money, so. Oh, you should have told me that the first day.
All right, so let's do a couple of things. One of them I did with a person earlier. I asked them if they thought, if they ask their clients three questions, they could answer them. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit off the subject, but the question is, if you want your clients to be able to answer those questions,
right,
and be accurate, then shouldn't you answer those questions and be accurate?
Yeah.
Right? And the three questions are, can you explain how you manage your calendar? Right? How do you manage your calendar? How do you manage the regular contact system?
Uh-huh.
How do you manage the agenda for each call in the executive summary? And what is my min and my max?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you can ask your clients those things, how do I manage the calendar?
Yeah.
How often do you get called? How do I manage the agenda for each call in the executive summary, and then what's my minimum and what's my maximum? So every client should know that. Every center of influence.
Right.
And,
otherwise, yeah.
And every prospect.
Yeah. Even if they're friends.
So, especially if they're friends.
Right. Because they might be more willing to take advantage of me.
Well, of course they will, but she did not think you did her a favor.
Right?
Did she think you did her a big favor?
No,
because you didn't tell her. See? Okay, so learning, right, is remembering. that's what Plato said, learning is remembering. So the key is you learned, and now you're going to remember, and you're not going to do it again.
Right, because it's not, yes, I have to keep towards my, I have to keep my min account size. I have to. Otherwise, I'm going to waste a lot of time.
And it's important that you articulate proudly that this is your minimum, not because any other reason than demand has outstripped supply.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I cannot take on any more clients unless they meet this minimum.
Okay. That's it. I can get my arms around that. Yeah. Okay.
And you're going to be seriously considering taking on 2 to 3 new clients this year.
Mm-hmm.
that meet that minimum.
Right. I think that I'm not trying to rationalize it, but I think in my mind I was like, gosh, it'd be good to have a win like early in the year, and a couple of things have been delayed, and
hey, I understand.
I
completely understand. Okay. I mean, everybody pays my minimum. I never compromise my fees.
Right.
I don't know if you heard me say that to Nico, but, you know, I've got a rule. I don't leave the island for less than 10 grand, right? And I say that proudly because I've got to do that. Otherwise, I could be all over the place making marketing calls. Right.
Right.
Well,
right.
it's good for our marketing. I can sign up 3 or 4 people. But guess what? Then what's my price? Is it 10?
Right.
Or is it 5? Is it 5? Is it 2? I've got a guy that works with me, and he needs money, right?
So he'll take those. Yeah.
Oh, he wants to. So I just have to hammer him. And say, we are not, we have one minimum, okay, and that's it. You cannot go and do that for less than 10 grand, because otherwise it compromises our brand.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I have a solution.
Okay.
I created joint partnership with a friend in the office who's willing to take that account, which is 99% of people in this office.
Great.
That's it. That's the answer. That's what I have to do. Yeah. So I just have to come up with the verbiage and practice it to do that.
Right. But you can't be sucked. You can't be sucked into a bunch of meetings either.
Right.
Introducing you. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to make it a clean handoff right in the beginning.
Right. You're absolutely right. I got you. I've got you. Okay, so do a JPN and make clean and off in the beginning. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, right. You could have two meetings and finally get to the point you need to hand them off.
Right.
Come on.
No, I don't have time for that.
Right. It's just too expensive, the cost.
Yeah, I think that's the way to think about it. I think that I got it. Okay. So here's something else that's happening, I think tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow, in fact. So I have an old, a client, I need to confirm 2 things. I had a client that I had at Goldman who didn't come over with me. And so Goldman, the normal was like 10, and this guy had like 7 or 8, but half of it was in a single stock position. And so they let me take on the account basically because he's an investment banker and he would make introductions. But when I came over, he didn't want to come over. And so I know him socially and I've seen him, gosh, like every half year, maybe 3-4 times a year. And so, but tomorrow we're going to meet again. And I want to bring up the topic of, you know, where is he with, he's not even at Goldman. They moved him over to Aiko, which is their $1 to $10 million. And so I wanted to get your, yeah, they demoted him. So I wanted to kind of think about how to approach it with him. He's a very, very direct, straightforward, almost cynical kind of person. He's very performance-oriented. And the honest truth is, Rob, that he's a, he's not a great client. He's very high maintenance.
Yep.
So I kind of want to get your perspective on this, given how wise you are.
Well, you do it like you do any call.
Okay.
So the first thing you do is you reconnect on as many levels as you can as to why you're the same.
Okay.
You're from the same tribe. You know, how many different, we're so similar, right?
Yeah.
We're all part of the, you know, blah, 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 blah. Same college, same school, same Goldman Sachs, same, you know, so that makes him feel safe.
Yeah, okay.
Then you ask him about him.
Okay.
And what's happened since we last talked.
Yep.
And do the girl thing where you ask all about kids and spouses and all of the
things. Grandkids, all that stuff.
Right. And he may not want to talk about that, but he'll like sharing it.
No. I know all of his kids. His wife is a dear friend of mine. Yes, we have a very strong connection.
Okay, so that's all good. Now, then he'll ask about you. And you tell him how well you're doing and how excited you are with the move that you made and how well it's going, okay?
Yeah.
And that you have the minimum, you have great manager, you have great support system.
Yep.
Life has really been generous to you, and you're very thankful.
Yep.
And then tell him about what you're doing with Supernova.
Okay.
That you hired a consultant to help your practice because it was getting so chaotic.
Yeah, it's getting, growing too fast. Blah, blah, blah.
Right, growing too fast, couldn't handle the service, so you hired a consultant. This is what you... And this is your service model that you've created.
Yeah.
And this is your minimum. This is your, you know, just those three things, right?
Yeah.
The calendar, the agenda, and the min-max.
Yeah.
And then shut up. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. And let him ask questions.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. Okay, I just got it. Yeah, he'll be intrigued.
Right. And just say, you know, I'm so happy with my life. It's fabulous. And he'll be like, well, tell me about this. Tell me, how'd you do last year? Oh, my God. You know, we're just so well positioned in this market. We just took full advantage of it. Asset allocation was excellent and rebalanced and da-da-da. And the clients are delighted, and they're sending me introductions, and so I just couldn't be happier. Well, what kind of return did you get? I said, well, you know, of course, that depends on your risk.
Right.
You know, but for clients that were, you know, I'm an international office, so I was able to take advantage of, you know, the intimate knowledge I have of South America, and was able to, you know, get some really interesting returns on emerging markets, and so I'm really in a fabulous position here.
He's like,
you see what I mean? You create intrigue, right? You're like, oh, wow, okay. So she's got information that I don't have access to.
Oh no, and I know he doesn't because when they demoted him to from Goldman Sachs to I forgot the name of it now. Acon, what is it called? It's a different product base. It's the product breadth and depth is like a, it's tiny where he is now. Tiny.
Yeah.
Okay. So I should intrigue him, but just let it out there. Now, like, don't ask.
And then you ask him for an introduction.
Ah.
You know, if you know somebody that would value this kind of performance and interest in service, you know me and you know what I do, I would really appreciate the introduction.
Yeah. Love that.
Right, that's your close.
Yeah, that's my clothes. And that's going to drive him crazy, Rob.
That would be perfect. See, then he'll say, well, what about me? And you go, oh, well, I thought you were all taken care of.
Oh, I got to practice this. Yeah, because we kind of have like a, more like a father-daughter relationship. And I've always tried to please him. And I think even when I was at Goldman, like I would really run around ragged just to make him a happy client. And it didn't matter because structurally it just wouldn't happen. But with Supernova, like now I have confidence and I can just like, I can turn the tables a little bit. And I think he'd like that actually. I really think he'd like that. I really think he would like to see me as being, you know, in a more powerful position.
Correct. Everybody does. People are drawn to confidence.
Yeah.
And you tell them how you work, and that is the way you work. You know, if it's an emergency, you can always call.
Yep.
But unless it's an emergency, we'll talk every month.
Mm-hmm.
So who's in control now? You are, right?
I am, and I've never been in control in that relationship.
Right.
Never.
So you just gain control. And you walk out, hope, you know, with the intention of getting an introduction. That's the purpose of the meeting.
Okay. Not to convert him.
No. No, no. He's all set. I'm sure he's got what he... I'm sure you have what you want. I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't, you know, a guy like you. You're a guy like you, right? He's a man.
Yeah.
Basically, you don't say it, but a guy like you would demand to get this kind of service and more.
Absolutely. Okay. This is so good. This is so helpful.
Well, it'll be fun anyway, right?
Well, right. And particularly given this guy's personality, I think that I can't go in there begging for him to work with me. I want to show him that I really have been really successful, and he'd be doing himself and his family a favor by working with me again.
Well, that's right. No, that's exactly right. So you got to reintroduce yourself.
Okay.
It's a complete reintroduction.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I got that. Okay. I'm going to practice that a little.
All right, so I want you to do an experiment with me.
Okay.
Since you've been trusting all along, I want you to train your clients.
Okay.
On those three questions, and then I want you to quiz them.
Okay.
Now you can train them and then quiz them right there. Or you can train them and quiz them a month later.
How do I introduce this though?
Well, this is a great thing. Okay, you ready? You ask them the value question.
That's what I thought. Yeah, start with a value question.
Yeah, always start with whenever you're going to establish, you got to always establish the rationale for what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so by asking the value question, what is it that you valued, or what are the three things that you valued most from your experience in the past year?
Yeah.
And then they tell you, and then you say to them, you know, one of the things that I would like to do is make sure that when someone asks you for an advisor or ask your opinion of who would be a good advisor for them,
right,
I want you to be able to articulate effectively what it is that you value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then what I found is if we don't practice this a little bit, it just will slip.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Right. And they'll say, oh, okay. And they say, okay, three things that you said you valued, or two things you said you valued, but you know, a lot of my clients value this also.
Oh, gotcha.
Or okay. You said this, but a lot of my clients value these other two things. And you know what they'll do?
What?
They'll say, oh, yeah, you're right. I love those.
Right.
Right?
I gotcha. It's suggestive.
Very suggestive. Right. So if they say nothing about the three, you say, you know, that's great. I'm writing that down. I'm going to share that with my assistant. But, you know, a lot of my clients say that they value these three things also. And then you tell them.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I love that. I love that. I love that. And I love that.
Right.
And if they don't, for some reason, react that way, then you never move forward here. Forget about it.
Yeah, they're not commercial enough to be looking out
right.
for me.
Right. But if they do, and they say, that's great. All right, so what I'd like to do is just so you can articulate clearly what it is when somebody asks you, and people will ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you, you know, they'll ask you, I'm looking for a new advisor, or who do you use? Why do you use it? Why do you like them? Why do you like them? You say, these three things. Pop them into your head.
Right.
And then you call them back and say, you know, just so you're clear, this is what you said. You know, let me give you a quiz. Can you answer those three? They'll laugh and go, ah. And they'll say, thanks, because I forgot that third one.
Right, exactly. Okay, I got this.
Now the question becomes, does anybody really train their clients? Okay? And I don't think they do. And this will be the first case that I've ever had of somebody that's actually going to go out and train their clients. We always talk about training centers of influence.
Right, the training
your
clients.
But what better group to train
right.
than your clients?
Right.
Now keep in mind, a center of influence, an FA that I'm coaching out in, I probably even mentioned this, in Oklahoma, took 20 years to develop a center of influence, and he said he really never started getting referrals or introductions until the person became a client.
Right.
So who better than clients that are already clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
To give you introductions.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. All right. So, I can do that.
And, you know, they will not value what they don't perceive, they don't understand, or they don't, if they can't articulate it, they don't value it.
Okay.
So checking to make sure they can articulate it, it moves them. What you're doing is doing what I, you know, what I do at the end of some of our calls. I'm saying, what are the three big takeaways from today's call, right? That moves it from your short-term memory to your long-term memory.
Yeah.
And so that's what you're trying to do. Move it from their short-term memory to their long-term memory so that when somebody says something, well, you can even say to them, you know, when somebody says, who do you recommend, you'll say, well, you know, I love Amelia. She's fabulous. But you may be stuck as to why, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Here are the cliff notes on what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's another
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. All right. Taking this all down.
Yeah, this is what other clients have said about me. I thought it might be helpful to you.
Love it. All right. I got it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've taken some risks in the past, so let's take some more. It's worked. And what's the worst that's going to happen? They don't remember them, but at least they're trying, and they'll try and help, and I think it'll work. And then they're also thinking, I really do need to do this because I love Amelia and I want to help her.
Right.
So I'm gonna get her an introduction.
So yeah, that's how we're on them feel,
yeah. Yeah. So we're training them as a sociological experiment. we may get a referral, right? We may get an introduction.
Yeah, and I think if I look at it in that way, as an experiment, I think it adds a lightness to it that doesn't create anxiety for me.
Right, exactly.
It's just another avenue for me to build my business.
Yeah. And use me anytime you need to in a situation like that. You know, where you have a friend that's a client, and you say, you know, I have a coach, okay, and my coach asked me to do this experiment. Would you do it with me?
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pick one of the three choices, whatever you feel confident with, but. It'd be very interesting.
Agreed.
So so I had a great time over there, and it was very gratifying. I told Nico that I had, you know, I prepared my usual speech, but I knew that I wasn't going to give it because I wanted to sense the audience and kind of feel what was happening and how many and, you know, and tried to make the presentation something that was specifically designed for them.
Yeah.
And you can't do that when you're giving a speech.
No.
You have to talk to them as if it's one person. And you're just sitting across from them and you're just talking.
Exactly.
And I hope it came across that way. I think it was kind of.
Yeah. Oh, I think it. Yeah. I think it was. I think it was. And I think I'm interested to see how many more people sign up. I really am, because I think a lot more people are interested. But I think, as I said at the beginning, the other crucial factor is how much are you willing to work?
Right. But I really appreciated your candor. I think that
I wanted to ask you about that.
I think you went up in the eyes of the office from wherever you were, which I don't know because I'm not in the office, to a leader in the office.
Really? Just from that speech?
Yes, you know why? One of the most powerful things in the world is the courage to give, to have full disclosure.
Yeah, and that's why, I wanted to ask you about my testimonial because I was a little surprised at Nico's reaction, and I thought that a great way to approach it was to be open and candid and say, like, look, like, I hate picking up the phone and calling people. I really do. I'm an introvert. And I felt like that was an effective way to do it. And I'm glad you think so. I'm glad you thought it was good. But I wasn't sure, and Nico's not in the office today, so I haven't been able to ask him, but.
Oh, I know he did. I mean, here's the thing. To be an effective speaker, or to make a point, the more dramatic it can be in terms of I was once lost and now I'm found. I mean, the song itself, right? I was once lost and now. And the worse you were, the more, you know, I mean, that guy that wrote the song was a slaver. Okay? Amazing Grace. I mean, he was truly lost. And now, and then he wrote that, and he was saved. All right, right. So the dramatic contrast between I am truly an introvert, I'm scared to pick up the phone, and yet I did it, okay?
Yeah, and I do it on a daily basis. And it's what I, it's like the main focus of my day now.
And that, and I do it. Now think about everybody else in the office. They weren't in that, they were not as far over, behind, or however you want to put it, in terms of having the issue, probably as you, but they have not brought themselves to picking up the phone. Okay?
Right. Nobody, so, like, the only people picking up the phone here are the Machados, me, Abe, and also Busso. Oh, Andres. Like, basically the Supernova people and also Busso. Yeah.
So if you can do it,
mm-hmm.
what the hell is their excuse?
Right. That's a good point.
So you see from Nico's point of view how fabulous that is. The other thing is a public declaration that you're doing it and you're going to do it.
Yes.
It puts you in the locker, okay?
Yeah.
Meaning there's no way out. It's like saying, I'm going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, all right? And you tell everybody. And then, what, are you going to not go and do it? No, of course, you're going to go and do it. So you train for it, and you get ready, and you do it. So if you created a multi-level contract with the office that you
yep.
are going to do this in spite of your fear.
Yes, in my discomfort. Like, I'm doing this outside,
right.
Look, I'm doing this outside the box every single day.
Right.
And I make my little list. And I go for it.
I tell you,
Rob, it's no longer hard.
Well,
let me
tell you something. Do you know what the most popular model in Hollywood or in stories from the beginning of time is?
No.
The model, it's called the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a reluctant hero who doesn't want to leave the village. It's often a woman who does not want to leave the safety of the village, but he or she has to go out and save the village from a dragon or anything.
Yeah, it's so, Moana. I'm Moana. Which if you haven't seen it, you'll be watching very soon.
So it's every hero's journey show, from The Wizard of Oz to, you know, and the reason I became so familiar with it is because Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, every one of them is a hero's journey. And they're incredibly popular, and audiences just eat them up, even though they know it's a hero's journey. They still eat it up, and that was the theme of my book, you know, my first book. So I had to become quite familiar with the model. In fact, I did a whole story on it. But anyway, for you, you're the heroine in a hero's journey, going out and every day slaying the dragon, and then coming home to the village who celebrates you. And so that's what you created for yourself, okay?
Okay.
And so you're the reluctant heroine of that office right now.
Huh.
So you do not need to ask Nicholas what he thought. In fact, I don't want you to.
Okay. Okay. I won't.
Nope. Just he'll come to you and talk and tell you how much he appreciated it and how great it was, and you go, thank you. That's very nice. But I did it because I had to do it. It was something that I had to share.
Well, and one of the, I didn't talk about this, but one of the things that helped me be so confident is, I think I did say a little bit about this, is being true to myself. Like, acknowledging that I'm an introvert, and yet I have to pick up the phone and call people, and I have to meet with, like, 2 or 3 people a day. Like, just acknowledging that just acknowledging that makes me more confident. You know?
Yeah, I'm very proud of you. I'm personally very proud of you. I'm delighted. And so is Nico. I guarantee it. We haven't talked about it, but I guarantee it. So you don't need to ask him.
Okay. I'm not gonna ask.
You can tell him, but don't ask him.
Okay.
You see the difference?
Yes.
One is asking for what's a good term? Asking for
approval?
Approval and reinforcement. And the other is telling him how you feel.
Yes.
Okay? So you really want to get to a Zen place where you do not need or even want approval.
Right.
Because then everyone loses all power over you.
Right.
Okay?
Right. I gotcha.
So you'll accept recognition, but you understand what it is.
Okay.
And it will not be winning or losing will affect where you stand with yourself. And you don't need anyone else's approval.
Right.
And that's Zen Buddhism. That's Buddhism right there. It was not important to get recognition. He even shunned it because he knew that it was a way of manipulating him. Now, I think it's a way of helping others to feel fulfilled in their love for you. So I don't have any problem with it, okay? But I don't let it control me.
Right. That's what I have been doing. That's what I was conditioned to.
Yeah, of course. We all were, and most still are. And seek approval of others and always feel like we never have, can never live up to their expectations. And it has nothing to do with them. It's all about us.
All about us. That's so true.
Right. So forget about that. We're an adult now and we don't need to play that game anymore.
Right. So I've got a heck of a lot of other things to do.
Right. Okay. Now, one of the things you can do is build a virtual team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the last subject we'll talk about. But I want you to think about that and how you might do that in order to overcome that one objection.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, let me think about that because I'm in this situation where I'm, like, I have a kind of a mentorship kind of part, not, like, solidified partnership with this team.
No.
But I don't think I'll continue with them. So,
it's okay.
Yeah. It's okay.
Here's what I would suggest, okay? I would get a picture with them and put it on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I would use it on my LinkedIn site.
Yeah.
I would market it, but I would never ask them for any help.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, because that's the virtual team. Virtual. Yeah.
You already have a team, okay? So why not use it?
Exactly. Yeah.
The point is it makes the client feel better.
Yeah.
They're always just going to talk to you, right? And your assistant, but they're they feel better that you have a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to get rid of that issue because we want to be a high net worth team.
Yeah.
You know, ultra high net worth team. And so we need a team. But we're not going to ever use the team.
That's okay. Yeah. No, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
And then over time, you build your own team.
Exactly. Precisely. Precisely.
Okay. So what are the big takeaways from today's call?
All right. So big ticket takeaways from today's call are how not to waste my time prospecting small accounts. The three questions, how can I explain my calendar contact system? How do I manage the agenda and executive summary? And what's my min-max? The third would be to start to train the client on those three questions by starting with the value question, which I've already incorporated into my agenda. So next month, following month, whenever I don't have to do it. I mean, I'll incorporate it. And then the fourth is to build a virtual team.
Right. Great.
Yeah.
And every day, believe that you're out on a hero's journey.
Ah, I like that.
Saving the village.
Yeah, every day. I got it, yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
All right, my dear. Yeah.
I am having more fun with you than I can tell you.
Me too. it's just we're a good fit. We see enough things the same way, and you have all of this experience and wisdom that I'm a sponge for.
It's great. Well, thank you. If I don't have a place to expel the sponge, then it isn't much fun. So I've got to have somebody that's willing to listen and try experiments and to do things, and it's interesting because each time we talk, I think we really create something unique.
Yeah.
And something new and a different way of framing things. In a different way of thinking about things. You're very helpful in my creative process. You think it's something that I've been planning, but most of it just simply comes from spontaneously listening to you and then reaching into my little gunny sack of history and experience and working with lots of different people. Yeah.
I love hearing that. That makes me feel good.
Yeah, it's very rewarding. So, thanks.
No, thank you.
Okay, have a wonderful week, and we'll talk next week.
We'll talk.
Okay.
Thanks. Take care, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.